Song, ladies, that was beautiful as well. And the offertory, that was also excellent. I just love the music this morning. Merry Christmas. Wow, that was terrible. You would have thought I said Merry Christmas in the Grinch's house or something. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Much better, much better. Turn to Luke chapter 2 with me, please. The passage Pastor Mike read earlier. And I appreciate Pastor Mike's help. Brother Caleb is back visiting his family. They are on the second week of their two-week trip. The first week was spent with Laura's family. And on Saturday, they went down to Milledgeville, Illinois, and are now with his family. And Caleb has preached this morning in his father's church, and now they're having afternoon together. And so pray for them as they have a trip there, and they'll be back here on Friday. Luke chapter 2, the words of Luke chapter 2, we read them this morning, often show up in Christmas programs. And things like that. They've probably heard more than any other words, especially by spoken by kids or quoted by kids or sort of quoted by kids in their efforts. And we get used to hearing them, but I want to put a little bit of a different perspective on them this morning. I'd like to just encourage you to stay here in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to share some other verses as we go through, but I want to stop and think about this for a moment. Jesus Christ has just been born. And the angel comes and speaks to the shepherds. Let's think about the mechanics of that for a moment. First of all, I want to share with you what it says in Psalm chapter 103, verse 20. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Angels in the scriptures are described as being messengers of God. They're literally holy fire of God. And the messengers that come from the throne of God, This angel that shows up, he was not just a passing angel that stopped by and said, "Oh, by the way, I wanted to let you guys know." He was not there of his own impetus. That angel was there because God, he had stood before the throne of God, and God had said, "Here's what I want you to go and to say." Think about that for a minute. Who remembers when their first child was born? And you want to tell somebody, right? How excited were you to tell someone, to call someone or to tell someone, "God the Son has just been born"? What does God the Father want to say first and foremost about that event? You see, this is the first time that God speaks specifically to the event at a point in time that's relevant to humanity. Okay? Now, we have had the prophecies about Christ, certainly. We've had pictures of Christ. We've had theophanies and Christophanies, we've had a lot of things, but this is the first time that God is speaking since Christ is born. And so imagine being that angel that stands before God and says, "I got a job for you." "Yes, Lord." Here's what I want you to say. "Yes, Lord." "Repeat it back to me." "Okay, all right, good. And here's who I want you to say it to." "Shepherds." "Shepherds." "Not kings?" "Nope." "Not rulers?" "Nope." "Not the Pharisees?" "Nope." "Not the Sanhedrin?" "Nope." "Shepherds." "Any shepherds?" "No, these shepherds in this field outside of Bethlehem. Those shepherds. I want you to go and tell those shepherds these words." So when we look at those words, which we hear so many times in children's plays and programs, those are not just words or lines for a play. That is the words of God the Father speaking to humanity about his Son's coming, as delivered by an angel. These angels, all through Scripture, are doing amazing things. Daniel said the angels stopped the mouth of the lions. Okay. Paul, when he was on the ship about to be shipwrecked, he says, no, "This guys, be of good cheer, for an angel of God came to me this night, pierced the storm and came to me and stood here and said this." Over and over and over again, we see angels doing amazing things, protecting as an army in 2 Kings. When Elisha's servant says, "We're doomed," and Elijah says, "God, let him see what's around." And he looks and he sees the whole host, heavenly host, surrounding the city. You see, angels have been used to do amazing, powerful, mighty things, and here they're used to send a message to humanity. And we know it's not just for the shepherds because it was recorded in all of Scripture for us today. So it wasn't a message to the shepherds. It was a message to humanity through the shepherds. So what we're looking at when we look at what the angel said is what God said to humanity. And I'd like to look this morning at what God said to all of us about the birth of His Son, because it's amazing. And it's the gospel. It is the first presentation of the gospel, really, in a very amazing and intricate way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for this morning. God, I love the story of your Son and His birth. And Jesus, I cannot imagine that this thing that we celebrate so amazingly, you undertaking it so willingly. I thank you and praise you for the message that you sent, God, that night from your throne to those shepherds and to us through this angel. Let us hear it today, God, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. The first thing I want to point out with Luke here, look at verse 10. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, what's the next word? I bring." What does that tell us? He's not talking, he's bringing something. What's he bringing it from? From God to us. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So the first thing we see here, he says, God said, so don't think of the angel, think of God. God says, good tidings of great joy. Good tidings, the message was only good. The message was only good. There was nothing, who's ever gotten the whole, I got some good news and some bad news? I got some good news and I got some bad news, you know? If you ever go to the doctor, he says, you want the good news or the bad news? Terrible idea. All right. God says, I got good news. It's just good news. There is no bad news about this. That is the way that God is. God is good, and His message is good. His news is good. He says, I've got good news, good in a perfect way. There are no drawbacks. There are no strings attached, no secret clauses, no hidden agenda. I have just pure, unadulterated, wonderfully good news. That's a great way to start the message. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, hey, when you get a chance, I need to talk to you? Who likes it when that happens? Well, it's like, oh boy. You know? And because we don't think of it as good news. Now, maybe it's great news, but we don't think of it. When your boss sends you an email and says, I need to see you in my office, all of us go, I'm going to get an award. Nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that. God is gracious. He says the first thing, because the angels were terrified, or the shepherds were terrified, he says, I've got good news. All good. It's all good. I'm going to tell you a story and it's all good. Everything about this is good. You know what, folks? That's the way God is. That's the way God is. In our lives, we do things, we endeavor in things, we strive in things, we build things, we create things, we do things, we go places. We take a vacation and it's mostly good. We build something and it's mostly good. We bake something and it's mostly good. Unless I'm baking it, then it's mostly not. But we do all these things and it's mostly good sometimes. With God, it's always good. The Bible tells us that all good things come down from above. Everything, if it's really good with nothing bad in it, no evil, no evil potential, no evil anything, it's coming from God. And so God says through this angel, says, I bring you good tidings. The word tidings is used to describe the kind of message that brings cheer to those who hear it. It just is like, ah. Oh. So these shepherds were afraid, and all of a sudden the angel says, I bring you good news. Good tidings. Good stuff of great joy. This message, it's not only good, it's going to give you joy. It's going to give you joy. Man. How many of you would love to have more joy? Only three of you even had the energy to raise your hands. We need an infusion of joy here. Seriously. Do you realize that with God comes joy? You don't get joy because of God. You get joy because God brings joy. Too often times in our Christian walk, we want all the stuff that comes with God, but not necessarily God himself. But God's saying, I bring you good tidings, a great message that's only good, and it's filled with joy. That's how God describes this message. Jesus coming to earth brings joy. Do you realize that before Jesus came, the joy of the Lord was a difficult thing to grasp? If you read the Old Testament and you read the children of Israel, you don't find a ton of passages about joy. You don't find a ton. There's some, but not a ton. God says, this is a joy. It's going to bring joy. Good tidings of great joy. Not just some joy, but great joy. His coming to earth is going to bring joy. That's amazing. In 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom having not seen, that's referring to Jesus Christ, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The ability to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory as a Christian is only possible because that night, great joy came. And the angel tells us about it. You see, there's a cause and effect relationship between the walk of a Christian and the coming of the Savior. They go hand in hand. He brought that. It's beautiful. So for what we see so far is a completely good message designed to bring cheer and joy because it will result in great joy. Wow. That's a great start. And this is God's message. He says, you got to understand, this is good. This is really amazing. Next. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. He says, unto you is born this day. Unto you personally. Folks, Jesus Christ is born personally to you as a Savior. To each and every one of you. Unto you. It's a personal thing. He is the Savior of the world, but he's the Savior of the world one heart at a time. That angel was sent by God to the shepherds. He said, unto you. And by extension, unto all people who would embrace Jesus Christ. You see, we don't get saved by knowing about God. We don't get saved by knowing the Christmas story. We don't get saved by reading the Bible. We get saved by accepting the Savior. And God's telling us, unto you. Put your name there, unto you. Unto you, John. Unto you, Miji. Unto you, Shelley. Unto you, Jim. Unto you, unto you, unto you. Unto me. What a pronouncement. He sent a Savior for you before you even existed. That's amazing. Because you know what he knew about you? You'd need saving, just like me. And he knew it. And the angel's telling him, hey, unto you. I think it's so exciting. 1 John 4:14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So those angels, that angel's telling him, hey, unto you is born the Savior the Father sent. All right? Salvation through Jesus is still a free gift that must be personally accepted. You see, you don't get saved by being part of a church. There is no church plan for salvation. There's no corporate plan. Joining a church doesn't get you saved. It never has. Any more than being in your garage makes you a car. Just because you're standing there doesn't mean you're a car. And just because you're here doesn't mean you're saved. It's a personal gift. It's an individual gift that must be embraced individually. And when we think about Jesus, don't think about what somebody else has done with him. Ask, what have I done with him? What have I done with this wonderful gift that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? Is it mine? Have I personally accepted it? Or is it still waiting for me to be accepted? Ephesians 2:9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a," what's that next word? "Gift from God." It's a gift from God. Jesus Christ was the perfect gift. The Bible refers to him as the unspeakable gift that must be individually received. There are religions that say that if you're part of our church, then you're saved, and if you're not, you're not. But you don't find that in the scriptures anywhere. At the end of the day, it all comes down to what have you and I done with Jesus? 1 John 5:11-12 says, "For this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son." The life was in the Son of the baby in the manger. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." You see, that's a personal gift to you. So now we have a completely good message designed to bring cheer, because it will result in great joy that must be individually embraced. God's saying, you've got to embrace it yourself. And why? Because the nature of the gift that's given. This is not a family gift. This is a personal gift. "Is born this day," it says back in Luke, "in the city of David, a Savior," which is Christ the Lord. Savior means deliverer and preserver from the power and penalty of sin. A Savior. Titus 2:13-14 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You see, the reason it's a personal gift is because it's a Savior. And Christ is a personal Savior. He's a personal Savior. We have all gotten the mass gift. You know, we all get one. It's like, this is not like that. The gift of Christ is personal to you. And this morning, either Christ is a gift as a Savior that you have embraced and accepted, or he has not been accepted. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, then that gift is still there, waiting to be received. It's personal. And the angel's making that clear, that God wants us to understand. This is the Savior. When those shepherds went there and looked at that baby, imagine the conflict in their mind. As they're looking at a baby in a manger in swaddling clothes, and they're thinking shepherd. They're thinking Savior. That Savior. You see, they had to have faith to believe that that was the Savior. But the Bible says they went and told other people. They were excited about it. They did believe. And the same thing is required today. When you look at Jesus, the Jesus who went on the cross, who was buried and rose from the dead, you have to see the Savior by faith. Because we're saved through faith, by the grace of God. We have to approach God by faith. It's all by faith, you see. The shepherds, everything they saw did not say Savior. But everything they believed said Savior. And everything they did said Savior. You see, don't make a Savior in your head and then be disappointed that Christ doesn't match it. Just look for the Savior that God gave, and you'll see him, okay? It's a personal Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is a sequence. Christ the Lord only occurs here in Scripture. Christ is translated Messiah in the Septuagint, which means anointed by God. Combined with the Lord, you'll find it's true every time you look in Scripture. If you look in your Bible there, it says, is Lord capitalized? Christ the Lord? Because he's God. You see, the angel was telling the shepherds, you're going to go see a Savior, but that baby in the manger is God. That's God. Think about the leap of faith First of all, the leap of faith to even leave their sheep and go. We're heading to Bethlehem. What for? To see a baby in a manger. Why? Because he's God. Imagine if they told somebody who hadn't seen the angel along the way. So let me get that right. You're going to Bethlehem, which is packed right now, to see a baby in a manger that's in a stable because he's God. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds ridiculous when you think of it from human perspective, but it sounds divine when you think of it from God's perspective. What a humble way to start. What an amazing message to give a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You notice it doesn't say, thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus. It says, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is our Savior, and he's our Lord. Now, oftentimes we want to be saved, but not necessarily want to be led. The message of the angel is this. This person, this baby in the manger is God. And he's your Savior. He's also your Lord. That's a question we could all ask ourselves today. Is our Savior our Lord? Is he the King of our life? Is he the one on the throne? Or do we live our lives sharing leadership with him? And if we're sharing leadership with him, we're not sharing it at all, because he does not have a partner. He is Lord. And God says to the shepherd through the angel, tell him that that is God, and he's there to be a Savior. One of the most fascinating things to me in all of Scripture is the willingness of Christ to subordinate himself to the Father for the purpose of redemption. To make himself lower than the angels. To put on human flesh. We're talking about God. No less God than the Father nor the Holy Spirit. And yet he did all of this so that he could be Lord of our lives, so that we could approach him, that he might be Lord of our lives, so that he could open the door and make peace between mankind and God through the payment of sin. You see, what the shepherds heard that night was that this is God. He's a Savior, and he needs to be your Lord. He needs to be your Lord. And that's an amazing message. First John 5:11 and 12 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You see, it's an individual gift, the Savior and the Lord. So we have now a completely good message, all good, designed to bring cheer, that will result in great joy, that must be individually embraced, because Christ is Lord, and we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that. That the baby in the manger and the man on the cross and the Lord at the right hand of the Father is the King of our salvation, the captain of our faith, the Lord of our lives. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful message for the angel to bring. We heard him say it's a completely good message. So my question to you this morning is, do you consider Jesus Christ coming as a completely good message? Or does the story of Christmas get lost in the noise of Christmas? Because Jesus coming is a completely good message. Have you embraced him as your Lord and Savior? And in so doing, we experience the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And have you done it individually? And are you letting him be on the throne of your life? I've come to the understanding in my own life that every problem I have can be tied to my unwillingness to surrender to the Lord in that area. It's not really more complicated than that. If I'm struggling with a sin, it's because I don't want to let go of it. If I'm struggling with an attitude, it's because I don't want to let go of it. It's really not tied to circumstance. It's not anybody else's fault. And if I truly have Christ on the throne of my heart, then is anything too hard for God? No. I really can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and so can you. You see, our lives are intended to reflect the Savior that we have personally embraced as our Lord, that was given as a free gift and announced through the angels that night to the shepherds. That's what the angels said. Are we hearing it? I hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you so much for this morning. God, I would just pray that the true intention that came from your throne through the angel to the shepherds, recorded in Scripture, would be the message that we would hear today. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, or that they would realize that the gift is still waiting to be embraced, that the Lord is still waiting to be crowned on their life. And it's never too late so long as there's breath. Let us have a Christmas season, dear God, that reflects the message that the angel said. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together, please. Take your hymnals. Turn to 180. 180?